Let's get into the Word. Amen. Thank you, Bob. Father God, we need your guidance this morning. Lord, we didn't come here to receive from man. We have come to receive from your Holy Spirit. And so I pray for each of us here this morning that you will give us student hearts, hearts who are dedicated to forever learn about you, your word, and your love. Lord, I pray for a fresh anointing in my life so that I can proclaim your word this morning in power. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we've been talking about some super miraculous things in our scripture readings this morning. Over in the Old Testament reading, we saw the passing of the mantle from Elijah to Elisha. All right, and you know, for those of you who haven't figured it out, their names are alphabetical, so Elijah comes before Elisha. Okay, that's how I keep them straight. And then the miraculous way that Elijah was taken up into heaven. Amen. As far as the scripture is concerned, the scripture only tells us about three people who were taken up into heaven. Alive. We have Jesus, of course, and we have. Now that I brought it up, I can't remember the guy's name. But he was in the Old Testament, and the Bible says that Enoch. And so Enoch was, but he was not, for he walked with God. And so Enoch was the typical on fire believer, because he looked forward to walking with God. And just exactly what that meant to walk with God, I'll leave that up to your imagination. All we know is that when Enoch opened his eyes in the morning, his only thought was, good, another day I can spend in fellowship with my God. And that so touched the heart of God that when God looked at Enoch and he said, well, I got to wake him up this morning, and he said, you know, it's quite a hassle that I have to let him go to bed at night, and then I got to wake him up in the morning so I can spend more time with Enoch. Why don't I just bring him up here with me so we don't have to go through this anymore? And so Enoch was not, the Bible says, for God took him. God just took him right up to heaven. So we have Jesus that ascended into heaven. We have Enoch that ascended into heaven. And then here we have Elijah that ascended into heaven. All right, so Christ ascending was, I mean, it was miraculous, it was supernatural, but it was just God receiving Jesus back up into heaven, and he was just taken, you know, into a cloud, and that's the last that they saw of him. With Enoch, I have no idea what the Bible, you know, meant when it says, and Enoch was not, for God took him. I mean, did somebody go in to wake him up in the morning and the bed hadn't been slept in? I don't know. He was just gone, for God took him. But here we have, let me see here. It said, he responded, you have asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I'm being taken from you, it will be granted to you. If not, it will not. And as they continued walking and talking, and that sounds a lot like Enoch, doesn't it? Walking and talking. All right. As they continued walking and talking, then a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Wow. Boy, I tell you what. What does the world mean by chariots of fire and horses of fire? No idea. Just keep in mind that Elisha, when he is experiencing this, this happens, you know, 1,000 years, well, not 1,000 years, 800 years before Jesus was born. 1,000 years, okay, before Jesus was born. And so he has nothing to compare it to. We're going through the same problem in our Wednesday night service in Revelation, is that John is seeing things in a first century Christian's eye, and he's seeing weapons of modern warfare, and he has no way to describe these things. Well, they're like horses' heads and tails with scorpions, and, you know, what does he mean? He's doing the best he can to describe something 21st century with a first century vocabulary. In the same way, Elisha is trying to describe what he saw with a way before Christ vocabulary. All I know is there's a lot of fire going on. All right, the one thing that we see here, chariots of fire, horses of fire. And so, you know, fire always represents the holiness of God. So I don't know what was going on, but I'm sure it was a vision, an experience, I should say, that stayed with Elisha the rest of his life. Amen? All right. And so, you know, we're seeing a lot of this, you know, supernatural stuff. But then we get over into the New Testament reading, and Paul is talking about, well, some people are saying that the gospel is hidden, that it's a secret, that, you know, you can't know the gospel. And he says, if the gospel is hidden, if it's veiled in this rendition, if the gospel is veiled, it's only veiled to those who are unbelievers. All right? For those of us who have believed God, have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, have received the Spirit of God, then the gospel is not veiled from us. We are experiencing the good news, which is what gospel means. We're experiencing the good news of God coming down and saying, you guys don't have to be in this situation any longer. I have provided so that you are now my family, and I will take care of you as my children, and when the time comes, I will take you home to be in my house where you will live with me forever. Amen? Wonderful time. Well, then, let's go ahead and take a look at the gospel, and here's another fire and chariots kind of a thing in Mark chapter 2, Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 2, and 6 days after, Jesus took Peter and James and John and brought them to a high mountain alone. And he was transfigured before their eyes, and his clothes shone and became white as snow in such a manner that men on earth cannot make white. And there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter said to him, Teacher, it is better for us to remain here, and let us make three shelters, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. For he did not know what he was saying, for they were in fear. Okay? Yeah, I would have been in fear too. Okay? All right. This is, again, there's no Star Wars special effects here. This is just reality shining brightly in your face as Jesus is transfigured into his heavenly glorified body. Amen? And so while he is scared to death and babbling on, and that's great, we're going to have a theme park here. I don't know what his idea was, but, you know, Peter says, we're all going to hang out here on the mountain. This is a good thing. Jesus, wow, look at all the glory he's in. This is the perfect condition for him to be ruling the nations in, all right? Our vision of the, you know, kingdom of God coming to pass in our lifetime and us sitting at the right hand of Jesus and ruling this world along with Jesus, it's coming to pass. And while he's going through all of this foolishness in his mind, then all of a sudden there was a voice over the cloud. It says there was a cloud overshadowing them. And I can just visualize as they're sitting there and they're just being struck with all of this shining and glory, that then this cloud gathers and it's so dark. And there's almost an ominous, you know, feeling, you know, kind of like when you step outside and you know that you can feel the rain coming. Okay, Terry and I stepped out of the house today, and I said, uh-oh, feels like rain. Well, Terry was already out from under the awning. She says, no, it is rain. So, all right. And that was that, you know, that there's something ominous is happening here, dark clouds. And from that cloud comes the voice that says, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. Hear him. Hear him. And suddenly, when the disciples looked around, they saw no man except Jesus alone with them. And as they came down from the mountain, he commanded them not to tell any man what they had seen until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. And so in these three stories today, we have a common theme. And that common theme is that there are things for us to know and to enjoy and to appreciate, and there are things that others outside of the promise aren't going to know. They're not going to appreciate. The Bible says that if you cast a pearl before a swine, that the pig, that pearl means nothing to him. He's going to run up to it thinking it's something to eat. When he finds out it isn't, he's going to be mad, and he's going to, the King James says, he's going to rend you. Okay? And that means he's going to say, oh, well, I'm still going to get something to eat. It's just that I'm going to eat you instead. And so there are things that you know, people just don't understand. So I like going back, and as Grace said, this is one of her favorite narratives in the Old Testament. And so Elijah knows the Holy Spirit has revealed to Elijah. And you look at Elijah's life. Elijah had accomplished unique victories in God. And there were a few times of whatever, but for the most part, he didn't back down from a fight and accomplished wonderful things for God. And God reveals to him, it's time for me to take you home. And it's time for Elisha to pick up the mantle, to take the mantle, to take your anointing, and to continue with it. I've taken you as far as I can, and so now I'm going to bring you home. And by the way, your anointing, and each one of you, each one of us here this morning, have an anointing of God, and it's not the same anointing. And one of the things that I recognized very early in my ministry is that I had an anointing for building, for pioneering a church. But after 2 or 3 years, my time was up, and it was time for somebody else to step in while Terry and I move on to the next church. That's my anointing, all right? That's what God has chosen Terry and I for. As a matter of fact, this is the longest that we've ever been in any one ministry. And it's very unique for us, but it also is perfect for what God is doing in our lives at this time in our lives. I have the privilege of standing here every Sunday, except for Sundays when I'm gallivanting around the world, and sharing God's word with you, and being, my favorite title is pastor. And I've got a lot of titles, and some of them are pretty fancy. All right? In some places, I'm your eminence. In some places, I'm your holiness. And I've got some pretty highfalutin titles. But I've told all of the bishops that God has allowed me to anoint, I've told them all, my favorite title is pastor. And in my position in the International Communion of Conservative Anglican Churches, you know, they said, okay, you are our prelate. The head guy. And they said, now, what is your ministry to us? And I said, my ministry to you guys, because you've been in ministry as long as I have, I'm your pastor. I'm the one you can come to when you're having problems. I'm the one that, you know, if you need a little bit of counsel or some encouragement or whatever, I'm your pastor. And that is my favorite title. And what does the Greek word pastor mean? It just means shepherd. That's all that a pastor is, a Greek word that means shepherd. And that is my favorite title. That's the anointing that God has given me. And so whether I practice that title here in this loving little church, or I'm someplace else, I'm still the pastor. I enjoy that. That's what God is doing. Well, that's the anointing that God has given me. Elijah had an anointing that brought him so far, and then God said, okay, we have maximized the use of your anointing. Now we're going to pass a double portion of your spirit onto Elisha, and I'm going to continue on now working with Elisha, who's going to have a double anointing. Take what you have, Elijah, and he did some pretty wild things. And I'm going to take that anointing, I'm going to double it, and I'm going to give that to Elisha. And then when he did that, then he just took Elijah home. So each of us have an anointing. The Bible says that you, St. Paul, you have all been given that portion, okay, of faith, of anointing. And that little portion, however big or however small it is, it's enough to save your souls. All right? What God has given each of us of the divine has been enough for our soul, our sins to be forgiven, and for us to be transformed into the children of light. And that's no small trick. I mean, that's something when we talk about, I want to see God's power poured out. Well, have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Yeah. You've become a new creature in Christ? Yeah. That sounds pretty dynamic to me. That the universe was changed, antimatter became matter, or whatever is going on, and you have been changed from corruptible to incorruptible. You have been changed from flesh to spirit. Your spirit man has been made alive in Christ. That's pretty amazing. And so, you know, don't question, well, have I? Yes, you have. If you know that you have Jesus in your heart, you have God's anointing in your life. And your part of the kingdom, wherever it is that God has put you, isn't going to be complete until you step into that anointing. All right? And it is interesting when in India, when they build houses there, they build houses, you know, here if a house lasts 100 years, 120 years, that's pretty good, all right? In India, houses are built to last 1,000 years, all right? And what they do is they take clay bricks, and after they put down the foundation, and they put in serious foundations, they will start cementing these bricks in place, and they'll put this level like this, and then the next level like this, so there are two bricks wide, or one brick thick this way, all right? And that's how thick the walls are. But that's not all. After that, those bricks dry, and the mortar dries, then they come in with cement, and they go ahead and they start putting, it's like stucco. And they go ahead and they cement in all of those spaces between the bricks, and the cement goes into those spaces and holds in there. And now you have a wall. It's 1 inch of concrete on either side and about 10 inches of brick in the middle. And that wall will last 1,000 years. All right? And so it's kind of fun, because sometimes somebody leaves a brick out, or they don't fill the gap in entirely, and the little chameleons will come along and they will find that little gap back in behind the concrete. You can't see it, but they'll find it, and they will dig a tunnel inside your wall. And it's really funny. I'm easily entertained. All right, I'll admit that right off. You sit there at night, turn the light on, and then from out underneath the light fixture, a little chameleon pops out, and the light fixture is on. So what is it attracting? Bugs. And it'll sit there and eat a bunch of bugs, and then it'll disappear, go back behind the fixture, and he'll go to that place where there's a hollow in that wall. I can't find it. Nobody can find it, but that chameleon found it. And see, when you don't do what God has anointed you to do, then that means there's a hollow place in that wall. And a hollow place means a weakness. The structure is not as sound where that brick has been left out as it would have been. And so you see, each one of us, Paul says that we are part of a living building, a living house, and each one of us have a part to play. And when we don't follow our anointing, then there is a weakness in that house. Now, the only thing that can happen to those houses, like I said, they're built to last 1,000 years. Unless water seeps in from above, and it'll come through, and it'll just, over the centuries, it'll start to melt those clay bricks, because they're only fired, sun fired. You know, they don't put them in a kiln and fire them, so they're just little clay, dried up clay bricks. They'll last forever encased in concrete unless water gets in. And it finds those weak places, and it just takes that stout structure and turns it to mud. And pretty soon you have two cement walls about an inch thick, and it's hollow in the middle. And it doesn't take too long for the building to collapse. All right? And so our part in the kingdom of heaven is the same way. And I used to think, I will make this confession to you, as the standard run-of-the-mill pastor out there pastoring regular old churches, whether they were Baptist or Assembly of God or whatever, I just kind of had the attitude, all right, now as we grow the church, we're going to get some old people. So what I need to do is hire myself a pastor for the elderly so that he can take care of the old people, because I have better things to do.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Have you all been in churches like that?
Yeah.
Where the older folks are just an afterthought? Yeah. So I think that's why God gave me this church. He says, I'm going to let you know where the power lies, son. It's not in these families that are running every which way they can to get the kids to soccer practice and piano practice and everything else. The power lies with the elderly who have the time to send up the prayers and to bathe you in prayer. Amen? Okay, so that's where the glory is. That's where the power is. And so Paul goes on to say that if you don't see it, if you don't have the anointing and you can't see the power of God, then the reason you don't have the anointing is because you're not a child of God. If the gospel is hidden, it's hidden to those that are lost. Well, I honestly don't believe that anybody's lost in here. I believe that we may be a little confused about what we're supposed to be doing, because this whole growing old thing is a whole new dynamic for us. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I never meant to. Everybody in my family, the men died around 60, 65. Okay, I didn't ever plan on being 60 years old. You know, now I passed 60 a while back. All right, past 70. Oh, not so far back. All right, and so you know, it's very easy for Terry and I to look back and say, oh, wow, we did all of these grand things for God when we were young and we had our health and our energy and our strength and we did all of these things and now you've got joints replaced. Well, I tell you, if you want to have fun, try explaining to somebody who doesn't speak English but he's in charge of security at the airport why your knees are setting off the, the metal detectors, okay? Son, these are titanium, all right? These are not regular knees. Mm-hmm. Oh, really? They're and, who ever thought, 10 years ago I'd be trying to explain why my knees set off the metal detectors? But they do. Now, Terry's always set off the metal detectors because her spine is wired with stainless steel wire. So she's always a scream. But, of course, she has a scar that she can see that scar? Yeah, that's what they all, oh, my goodness, yes, let this lady go through. And But being elderly is a whole new dynamic for us. We've not done that before, yet here we are. Amen? But there's a couple of things that remain the same. God's love remains the same. He loves us as much or more today than he ever has. His anointing remains the same. It might manifest itself. Terry and I no longer walk over fallen trees to get across a raging river. And, all right. Maybe it was a little stream. Every time I tell the story, it gets a little bit bigger, 1,000-foot chasm going down. It was just a little stream with a tree that was falling across it.
It was very scary.
It was, yeah, any way you cut it was kind of scary. We may not be doing that, but what he has called us to do is just as important, if not more important, today than what we did 20, 30, 40 years ago. And it's the same thing with you. And so again, I know I've said this so many times. What does God have for you right now? If you are alive, that means he has a purpose in your life. When he was done with Elijah, he said, your purpose is over, Elijah. Your protege is going to receive a double portion of your anointing, and I'm taking you home to heaven. All right. People didn't understand that. I was as reading this, I was surprised to find out that there were companies of prophets all over Israel. 50 prophets here, 50 prophets there. People that heard God, but they didn't understand what God was doing. And so as they would go to these places, as Elijah is getting ready to hand things over to Elisha, on two occasions, 50 prophets would come out. They had heard the prophecy of God that Elijah is being taken home. All right? They heard that. And so they're coming up because they have some special inside secret, and they want Elisha to know that they're part of the inside group. Did you know that today your master is going home? All right? And what does the Bible say? I like how King James clears it up, or cleans it up. He says, yes, I know, be quiet. No, be silent. Keep silent. Elisha's saying, yeah, I know, shut up. Yeah. All right, this is anything new to me. And so he just gets done with that group of prophets. They go to Jericho, and there's another group of prophets. Oh, we got some news. Did you know that? Yeah, I know, shut up. They were getting kind of a glimpse of what God was doing. Elijah and Elisha knew what was going on. Why? Because they were not just meeting occasionally and spending a little bit of time in seeking God's face. Their life was all about seeking God's face. And so that's what I want for each of us here. Find out what it is God is doing with us. When it's time for Elijah, when his ministry is finished, God took him home. All right? When Jesus' ministry on earth was finished, what did God do? Took him home. When God couldn't get any closer to Enoch, and he wanted to have that fellowship with Enoch, what did God do? Took him home. All right? We're still here.
Yeah.
Everybody else got to go home, but we're still here. What does that mean? God's not finished with us. He's not finished with us. And I know I do the same thing you do. Oh, God, why am I still here? Why are we doing this? Why are we going through that? He still has a purpose in our life, which means that our lives still have meaning. Amen? And if the only thing you can think to do is pray, well, that is the one thing that God said we should be spending our time doing anyhow. But we're not going to be like those prophets, those 50 groups, groups of prophets. We're going to be like the man of God, the woman of God, who is so fellowship with God that we just don't have a general idea. Do you know
today that your master is going to be taken away from you?
Yeah, we're beyond that. Right now, we are really praying about what God is doing in this person's life, what God is doing here at the Grant. Your life has real meaning if you're willing to just open your eyes and look for it. Amen? What does God have for you? You know, I have a young couple. He is a Syriac priest who speaks only Spanish. And he had to flee, and I don't remember where it was. It was someplace where they don't like Christians, and he is here as a political refugee. And he showed up in Houston. And somehow he got my number. And he called me up. And he said, I'm here. What can I do? And, the government has given him, I think for a year, they give him rent for his apartment and food or whatever because he's a political refugee. All right. But then that's going to come to an end, and he's going to have to start, doing his own way. His wife is already filling out job applications, and he's, doing his thing. But he's calling me up. I want to serve God. What can I do? How can I serve him? And I'm just thinking, well, let's get all your paperwork finished up so that you're legal and all that good stuff, and then let's find out. Let's go. We'll work together on this. He just wants to pastor a group of Hispanic-speaking people. All right? That's all he wants to do. He just doesn't have a place to do it in. And he doesn't live nearby either, which makes it a little bit more difficult. But, hey, this man wants to serve God. I want to do whatever I can to help him find a place to serve God. You want to serve God. That's why God put me here. That's why God put Terry and I here. We want to help you find that place to serve God, and whatever it may be. And, all you have to do is say, this is what I want in my life. I want to find that unique thing that I can do. And we will pray with you, and we will sit down and talk and maybe go to lunch somewhere and talk things over. And let's find out where your heart is so that God can use you. Because if you're still here, that tells me another thing about you. God still considers you usable. Okay? There's still a ministry, and you're still usable. Because he doesn't do anything for grins except for the platypus. Platypus he did for grins, all right? He knew there was a Darwin coming along who was going to go ahead and put everything in its little genus and species and stuff like that. So God provided the platypus expressly for Darwin. It has fur, it lays eggs, and has a pouch. And so, figure that one out, all right? So, since God doesn't do anything for grins, it means he has a purpose. That means if you're here, he still sees that you have a purpose.
Yeah.
Amen? Mm-hmm. Let's find out what that is. And Terry and I are available, guys, through the week. Yeah, we've got meetings and stuff like that to go to. But, if you call us up and say, hey, I'd really like to sit down and and kick a few things around with you, as long as it isn't me that you want to kick around. But, you know, if you want to kick a few things wrong with us, we will sit down and talk. Because that's my job as the pastor, to accommodate your ministry, what God wants to do in you and through you. If you're still here, God still has a purpose. Father God, thank you for your word today. And I thank you, Lord, that we've all been given an anointing, and we have seen in Elijah and Elisha's life that when that anointing comes to an end, we take the first thing out and then pass a double anointing on to the successor. Well, Father, you haven't taken us out of here yet, which means there are still things that need to be done. Father, I pray. I know that there are some that are saying, well, I'm just too tired, and I'm just too old, and I'm just in too much pain and to be of much use. But Father God, there is no such thing as a useless believer. If you put us here, there's a reason for it. And so, Father, I pray that you'll direct us. Lord, Jesus was able to take 12 men and teach them faith, and they literally changed the world. They went out and established your church, which has influenced every part of the world. Well, we've got 12 people or more. Lord, if we can be anointed by your Holy Spirit, we'll be able to change our world. And so that's what we're asking for, Father. Guide us and direct us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his